You're really going to love this. I've got some great data for you. Given that there's a few people who think, billionaires at that, who think that the stock market's going to fall as much as 50%, which might worry you about your pensions, and it rightly should, what's in their portfolios? Because after all, we can look at that. And not just there, but a few other people, such as, what about the ones who foresaw the last market crash? Like Michael Burry, the billionaire hedge manager. What's in his portfolio? So let's take a deep dive into this and have a look. Well, first of all, just some context. Where are we? How come we're talking about 50% drops? Well, to some extent, it seems a bit trivial to be talking about. And given that this is where we are, we've barely fallen. This is the Bloomberg Global Stock Market Capitalization. That is what all the global stock markets, all the major global stock markets are worth. Barely fallen. Okay. Another way to look at it is look at how much they've risen. Surely we've got some way to come back. Maybe we should be closer to 2019 levels, maybe 2019 plus a bit. So significant drops back. But does that really justify a 50% drop in the markets? Where's this coming from? So one or two of the extreme pessimists are saying from where we are, we could get a 50% drop because that would only take us to where we were during COVID in 2020. So actually, 50% drop isn't actually that big and could easily happen. After all, we've had 39% drops in the financial crisis. So that's their thesis. And in the past week, at the time of recording, this is what had happened. Out of the S&P 500 companies, the vast majority had dropped. So much for diversification, hey? Some of these are consumer retail companies, some of them are high-tech companies, yet everything moving in the same direction with the exception of a relatively few stocks. If you want to see a whole analysis of which stocks did actually go up during the last crash and which are going up at the moment, look at my YouTube channel where I've got that. But for now, just returning to this. So who's the guy who's talking about 50% drops? Well, it's this chap. I know he looks miserable as it is. The vampire phase of the bull market. Investing expert says US super bubble will pop soon. Jeremy Grantham says US super bubble will pop. Here are 11 key quotes. Jeremy Grantham sees stocks in super bubble. Say sell-off has started. And he thinks it will wipe off $35 trillion from stock markets. And he thinks a 50% drop. So, Jeremy, if you think all of that, what do you own? You all in cash? And you're not. This is what he owns, according to regulatory filings. That's interesting. Okay, it's not that he would necessarily think these stocks are going to go up. What he's saying is he's not going all into cash. He knows he'll have a rough ride. It'll sell off. I suspect one of the reasons why he's holding these, when he knows, or presumably believes that the market's going to fall, is for two reasons. One is, it wouldn't actually, in all fairness to him, be very efficient to liquidate his entire portfolio. Okay, so that's a more technical, administrative reason almost. And it'd be very difficult to charge fees when all you're doing is holding cash. You'd be sort of killing yourself as a business. But I also think he's holding these as a flight to quality. He knows they may well fall, but other institutions like him, if the market falls, will look not to put their money in a bank account, but will look to put it into those stocks that have war chests of capital, are not likely to go bust. Yes, they'll fall. I mean, we know that from the last financial crisis and every crash, everything falls, but it'll give some safe haven to park your money. Right, so that's probably his thinking when he's looking at these. But what about the cleverest people in the world who just can't afford to lose? Like Yale University, they can't afford to lose lots of money. They're an educational establishment which goes back hundreds of years. By the way, as an aside, Google their origins. There's an interesting link to India. So Yale University, what do they own? Well, they've got index trackers, essentially. S&P 500, FTSE Europe, and emerging markets. Pretty much where most of their money is. Okay, if you look at their top holdings. You can look up EQT. I'm sure they've got perverse reasons for holding that. But anyway, those three things. Why? Well, they know it'll fall, but as a body in the investment committee who've got to answer to the board of governors, they'll be thinking to themselves, at least we can say we didn't miss the major global indices. Okay, so they're not going to go and individually stock pick. They're very risk averse. They're a charitable institution. Okay, and nobody wants to be responsible for all the money running out of an institution like Yale. So index trackers make sense to them. They're at the risk averse end. Okay, what about then the man who forecasts the last crash, Michael Burry? Surely we want to know what his hedge fund Cyan Capital owns, and these are his companies, the top holdings of his companies. So I reverse engineered what these might have in common. And there are two main strategies out of just these holdings, and there's probably more sub-strategies, but there's two main that I want to highlight. I won't highlight the Google call option position, because I think that's the flight to quality one I've already mentioned. And it's a call option, which is neither here nor there, that it's a call, other than he believes it'll go up in value. So he's got two major strategies. We know he owns Geo Group and CoreCivic. What's the thinking there? Well, there he's gone for companies which are at multi-year lows, as you can see there. You know, you draw charts for both of them back to 2005. You're looking at prices today which are at 2005 levels. And companies which are heavily undervalued. In other words, there is some degree of profitability, but the share price is very low relative to that profitability. There is some cash flow. So it's not a complete basket case. That's not why it's at multi-year lows. It's just heavily undervalued. So this is the rotation to value stocks. And there's next to no growth. Again, there's not much growth anticipated. So he's really doubled down on the thesis that people are moving from growth companies to value companies. So that's one theory. He's presumably why he owns this. If I was reverse engineering, why does he own these? The other type of holding he has, and he's got Lockheed Martin, as I mentioned, and to some extent his Google position falls into this, is value, growth, cash flow. So these are the kind of companies, and you might say Lockheed Martin, sure, that's got everything to do with Ukraine, etc., etc. Well, that might be the story. But here, when you look at the valuation, revenue growth, cash flow being generated, it's ticking all the boxes. Now, this is far more similar to my type of investment strategy. I do not like multi-year low basket cases undervalued, unless it's one of my special strategies. And the only way I'd put these two into special strategies is if I say to you, this is based on Michael Burry, we think the market's going to go down. If you agree with that thesis of mine, then you've got to give yourself a year to 2 years in which this doubles up. So you get 100% return, give yourself 2 years. If it doesn't happen, get the hell out of there. So the upside is 100% return, you get to double your money. The downside is if it goes a little bit lower than its most recent lows, okay, which is less likely, but it could do. So you've got a better upside to downside. They're not likely to go bankrupt. That's a special situation. My conventional, the way I like to invest, are these types of companies. So you've got a Lockheed Martin there, all right? So that's that one. Like I said, and to remind you, this is why we're discussing any of this anyway, because there's a worry. Now, this is not a certainty by any means, this 50% drop, but yeah, there's some talk and some of you might get worried. As you might already know, I've given this analysis already on my other videos. Point A, and I put a probability to it. There's a 15% probability. I think we just continue on this upward trend that we've been on since 2020, which is quite a steep rise. You know, markets find it a lot harder to just keep going at a higher elevation. It's like, I don't know, flying a plane. You can go so much, defy gravity, but after a while, gravity wins. Point B, which I think is the most probable, we skid along more closer to the longer-term trend, which has been in place for about a decade now. C is a more severe pullback, which might then lead us going back to point B later on, but certainly initially would be a point C, and I think there's only a 15% probability of that. Point D, which is what the 50% decliners think, and I think there's only a 10% probability of that. So there you go. That's where this whole context came in. And just in case you're interested and you want to sort of compare to what happened in 2008, well, these are today's Dow 30 companies and how they did in the last crash. Okay, and one of the things I want you to know is that even the biggest companies can drop 50%. Most people underestimate how much a giant can fall. They also underestimate how quickly a giant can bounce back as well. Okay? Those fallers, which have nothing to do with the cause of the crash, can also fall. So don't think you can diversify this away. And those linked most to the crash are most likely to fall the most. Now, I've mentioned this in other videos, but I just want to remind you. Were there any winners from the S&P 500 in the last market crash? Yeah, these were the ones. Dollar Tree. And you can imagine in a high inflationary environment that that might again be a winner. Because in a high inflationary environment, guess what? Their prices are pretty fixed by their name of their company. Although I believe they've now increased things from $1 to $1.50, I think is the most it can be in there. Anyway, it's like Poundland in the United Kingdom. And as for the indices and index trackers, I'm afraid all the major global industry indices can fall quite severely. So that 50% drop that was mentioned by Jeremy Grantham, it's not ridiculous. It's just that, yes, it can happen. It's just that, you know, we want to try and stock pick things which won't have us suffer as much as that. And of course, rebounds happen as well. And exchange traded funds, well, these were the ones which did well. And these are the ones which currently are also up from the ones which were also up in the 2008 crash. Okay, mainly government bonds and gold. Now, you might not want to take either of those views at the moment, but I'm just sharing with you everything that's out there. As for fund managers, investment trusts, surely they did well? Nope, I'm afraid not. Not even big names like JP Morgan and the billions that they manage. Most were worse than these. I've just taken a sample here. They were down 26 to 28%. I've just taken a middle sample, you know, Baillie Gifford, JP Morgan, Fidelity, Witten, BlackRock. You'd expect them to have done rather well during the last financial crisis. They were down severely. So that wasn't the easy answer if we're looking for shortcuts. Anyway, if you'd like to learn more about investing, if you haven't already followed me on campaignforamillion.com, you'll get my free Telegram channel on there and a whole load of other information. And if you're part of my Great Investments program, you're going to get a lot more of this content exclusively for you, and a bit more detail and other stocks which we think will be resilient and benefit from market falls. So if you're part of the Great Investments program, you'll get that on the private Telegram channel. Otherwise, have a look at the Campaign for a Million to see me on the public Telegram channel, on YouTube, and connect with me all sorts of different ways. Thank you all very much. Hope you found that useful.